Great to have everybody in this morning. Might have a few more making their way in. And that's the one thing I knew I forgot to do.
What, honey?
Batteries for the bell mic. Welcome to
your tape. Okay.
Yes?
Could I put some envelopes on the back? Go ahead, right on the back.
Just put a note so I know they're back there.
Put a little arrow.
Thank you.
Maybe just words. Turnover.
Oh, you see my little note there? In the last couple of videos, my right arm's been cut off. Somebody pointed it out to me. Flags in there, but
that's fine.
All right, I think we got everything else going good. Let's turn to page 488. 488. My Redeemer. Yanking her chain. I'll stand up.
To set me free. Sing, oh sing.
the 494 will sing. It's just like His great love.
I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the end.
Started.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Uh-oh. At least it's not my preaching. I ain't started yet, so you know it's not that. Yeah, the weather does kind of give you that sleepy. We had a sleepy day. I can't remember what day of the week it was. This week. I hardly ever take a nap. I took one once this week. You onliners, get your prayer requests into bbfohio@protonmail.com, and the rest of you inliners, get your little prayer cards filled out and brought to the front. That's a problem. And silence your cell phone ringer. Back there, Sean. I think you already did, didn't you? Well, you can do it as I'm talking here. The BBF Evangelism Project for June. Amen. We're down to about 600. I think it's a little over, but what is this? The 13th. So we're about the midway mark, and we're about the midway mark on our number there. So just come down and grab a pack of these to take with you. And give them out. It's getting a little easier to give out gospel tracts again. Last year, this time, tried to give one to somebody, and they'd run away screaming, "Ah, they tried to touch me!" You know. But I had people looking; they just wouldn't even touch it. You know. Usually, they will say something like, "I'm okay" or whatever. But no, they had this look of fear on their eyes. So it's a great little tract. If you haven't read it, you ought to read it before you hand it out. And we'll get into our current events update. It's good to have Linda with us this morning. Make sure you get around to get some hugs and kisses from Jenny and everybody else.
I didn't bring any today.
Didn't you bring it to put on your shirt?
Yes.
This is it.
All right, our current events update. CRT,
yes,
known as critical race theory, is being challenged by courageous parents. And I just want to show you this one in particular.
Keisha King, I'm a mom of two, one
Keisha
who's
King.
In the Duval County Public School System, and one in private school thanks to school choice. I'm also a member of Moms for Liberty, representing thousands of parents. Just coming off of May 31st, marking the 100 years of the Tulsa riots, it is sad that we are even contemplating something like critical race theory, where children will be separated by their skin color and deemed permanently oppressors or oppressed in 2021. That is not teaching the truth, unless you believe that whites are better than blacks. I have personally heard teachers teaching CRT, and we have had an assembly shut down because Duval County Public School System consultant thought it would be a great idea to separate students by race. This is unacceptable. CRT is not racial sensitivity or simply teaching unfavorable American history or teaching Jim Crow history. CRT is deeper and more dangerous than that. CRT, in its outworking today, is a teaching that there is a hierarchy in society where white, male, heterosexual, able-bodied people are deemed the oppressor, and anyone else outside of that status is oppressed. That's why we see corporations like Coca-Cola asking their employees to be less white, which is ridiculous. I don't know about you, but telling my child or any child that they are in a permanent oppressed status in America because they are black is racist, and saying that white people are automatically above me, my children, or any child is racist as well. This is not something that we can stand for in our country. And don't take it from me. Look at the writers of these types of publications. Our ancestors, white, black, and others hung, bled, and died right alongside each other to push America towards that more perfect union. If this continues, we will look back and be responsible for the dismantling of the greatest country in the world by reverting to teaching hate and that race is a determining factor on where your destiny lies. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
The critical race theory is the icing on the cake of the progressive agenda in government public schools. As I said, we thought we got rid of segregation, and now they're segregating in the name of critical race theory. And they're teaching people, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. Said that he dreamed of a day when a man would not be judged by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. Critical race theory is telling you Martin Luther King Jr. was wrong and that we have to continue judging by skin color. And, well, we're going to see in a minute. I appreciate any time anybody says something true and what Martin Luther King Jr. said was true, but that beyond that, the Bible says otherwise. The Bible says you shouldn't be judging people by the color of their skin. So the bottom line of critical race theory, instead of colorblind, CRT promotes being race-based and judging things based on race. This contradicts the biblical standard that we're to have, and this is something we can only insist upon in our own homes and in our own churches. But we do insist the Bible be followed among Christians, where we're told in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So we're going to treat you the same, no matter what your skin color, no matter what country you came from, no matter what your gender, sex, line of separation they're using today. We're going to ignore those lines. And we're going to continue to follow the scripture. And this is setting the stage for the end times, by the way. Jesus predicted this kind of ethnic upheaval. In Luke 21:10, the first part of that verse, he said, unto them, nation shall rise against nation. And he also says, kingdom against kingdom. Well, kingdom is the country you come from. Nation is your ethnicity. And there are times when kingdoms have been ethnic based, but they're still not the exact same thing. And so you take the Bible as it's written. Biblical nations are ethnic and kingdoms are political based, government based type of delineations. So it's just ironic that during the first half of the 20th century especially, there were some well-meaning, well-intentioned fundamentalists who didn't like a lot of what they were seeing among the civil rights movement. And there was a lot of, like Martin Luther King Jr., people don't like to talk about it, but it's a fact. He was very influenced by Marxists. And he was not a very moral man. There's some real issues with him. And so some fundamentalists, especially white fundamentalists in the South, saw that stuff and they stood up against it. And some of them then went too far and actually became segregationists and racists. They actually wouldn't allow blacks to come to their church when the blacks would come in, but they also, the same way when it came to someone from Mexico or Cuba or any other country. And that's just a shame. There's been times where well-meaning Christians are wrong. We don't go by Christians, we go by the Bible, amen?
Amen.
And so we want to get along with people as best we can. But we can't get along with you when you contradict the Bible. And that's where we stand on CRT. Yeah, John?
Yeah, I think this just, you know, what we're seeing in action is, I don't remember exactly the reference to it, but when God said, man looketh on the outward appearance.
Yeah.
But God looks at the heart. And so that's basically all the race thing is. It's, again, man judging by what he sees, not what the heart is.
That's what Samuel said whenever King David was about to be brought before him. His brothers, he had some taller, stronger-looking brothers.
And God said it to Samuel.
Samuel said that that's why it wasn't when he, I believe he relayed that message as well. But anyway, that's what we can. I'm thankful for that. I don't think I have anything extra special about me. I'm glad that God saves sinners. Amen?
Amen.
So we have 1, 2, 3 headline reviews quickly. Number one, pro-life group has called for Fauci to be fired over NIAID funding of barbaric experiments on aborted babies. Doesn't that surprise you? Pro-lifers are seeking to hold him accountable for his role in providing funding to the University of Pittsburgh, which was used to perform experiments on aborted babies. Progressives, folks, have the same spirit that the Nazis and the communists and the Antichrist
have. Yeah, America's answer to Joseph Goebbels.
Goebbels, I think I pronounced it. Yes. Sex is a biological fact and immutable, which is a fact. A British woman who lost her job over transgender views has won on appeal. I think last week we showed the coach at a school who had been fired because he refused to call a man a woman or a woman a man or whatever. He got his job back.
Good.
And that was here in the United States. This is over in England. But she had lost her job stating that sex is a biological fact and immutable, which happens to be true. But the battle is endless. We're going to see this week after week, but the war will be won. Sodom and all who join themselves with Sodom will be destroyed. We love you enough to warn you, remember Lot's wife. And that's what all these people who are going along with the Pride Month thing, going along with the Pride parades all over the country and all over the world, they may not be active homosexuals. They may not be living the sodomite lifestyle. But Romans 1:32 says they are worthy of death, just like those committing the sins. And if you don't repent, you will pay the wages of sin, which is death. And we call on all these people. We don't hate them. We don't wish hell on them. We call on them to do what we did. We as sinners repented. I didn't walk up and down the street proud of my wickedness. I repented. Let alone the fact we've read recently what God thinks of pride in the first place. He hates it. God does not have anything to do with Pride Month and Pride parades. God loves humility. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. And our third and final headline review is just some good news. It's just always good to see the Bible being confirmed over and over and over. They found an arrowhead from a biblical battle in Goliath's hometown. They found an arrowhead that was made of bone. And it was, and I'm not even sure that's the exact same one, by the way. That's what that's what they had on their report.
File photo.
But bone arrowhead had marks showing that it had been used in battle, and it happened to be where they were excavating, where a battle had taken place, and it was just 1,000 yards away where they, from where they believe it was actually constructed, as far as the arrow and everything. And the story says, furthermore, archaeological excavations at Gath in modern-day Israel show that the ancient city was destroyed in the 9th century B.C., around the same time of Hazael's invasion. Confirming the Bible, in other words. And there's just time after time, these archaeologists turn the spade and discover something that confirms that the Bible is true. And that all these guys on your History Channel, all these guys on PBS, all these guys in the liberal apostate seminaries and even at OSU are bearing false witness against the Bible when they claim that the Bible has errors and the Bible isn't trustworthy. They lie. So keep that in mind as you hear this stuff. You can trust your Bible. And we specify King James Version, and we have some pamphlets and things over here to help you, but we also have a DVD with called New Versions or Vatican Versions, almost 2 hours where we lay out the information on that. So the Bible is proven true over and over and over.
Amen.
We said this last week. These current event updates are to help you discern the times. Learn, and by learning, you can then learn to discern.
Okay.
What is it Bob Burney says on his radio program? LTD.
Listen.
Think.
Discern.
There's a few of you listen.
Amen.
It's a good program to listen to. I mean, if you got a radio. Some people don't even have radios anymore. You can listen online, too. But anyway, I'm amazed. There's so many attacks against God's Word today, and it's so bogus. And I hope to very soon begin to put little five-minute videos up for people to just help them understand why the Bible is true. And we don't want anybody, there's two or three of you here who've come recently and you have your new version with you, you know, a couple of you. And we just want you to understand, as we say, we love you enough to tell you the truth. We don't have any hard feelings towards somebody using one. I used to preach out of the NIV, but we want you to know the truth. We just want to tell you the truth. And I was saying this earlier, just a few minutes ago, but this week, someone had contacted me who had been contacting us over these Bible version issues, and at first thought we were crazy, but they took the time to investigate. And I challenge anyone here who, in those of you, some of you may even say, well, I'm King James only, but you don't understand the issue. You ought to understand the issue.
Amen.
There's reasons for not being, and I don't say this with any disrespect, but we've all been suckers. The Bible publishing industry is a scam. They get the different copyrights on all your different Bible versions, and number one, it doesn't have anything to do with making it easier to read. You can get lists of every one of those new versions using archaic terms.
Yeah.
Why do they do that? They have to make a certain number of changes in order to get the copyright so they can get all the money. Love of money is the root of all evil. Amen?
Amen?
The other thing is this, and I challenge everybody on this. Anything you read, if it's easier to read, that means nothing. Unless it's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to know why the other churches are going to hell? They decided they would rather read something easier to read rather than having the truth.
Yeah.
And we need a generation here in the last days. We need a remnant who will say only the truth. Don't give me anything except for the truth.
Amen.
Whether it's the Bible version you read or the preaching you're hearing, if I step on your toes and I'm not being biblical, ignore me. But if I'm stepping on your toes and I'm picking on your pet sin, you know what you're supposed to do?
Repent.
I thank God I was sitting in a pew back in 1990 and a preacher stepped all over my toes. And God convicted me, and I repented, and it changed my life.
Amen.
I was already saved. I'm glad somebody stepped on my toes and told me I was going to hell and need to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
But then even after that, I'm sitting in the pew, and this guy's preaching on this, and I thought, my grandma must have called him and told him something. You know, my mom must know this guy. How's he? He's picking right on me. He didn't know me from Adam, but he was just preaching the Bible. God hold me good. And that's our goal here today. So with that said, got just a minute for questions. Got a little late start. Johnny?
This might be an easy question for you, I can imagine. But do you have a study where you go through why each of the books of the Bible is in the Bible?
I haven't done that myself in particular, but... The easy answer is that there wasn't really a decision on every Bible made individually as much as the New Testament was more like that. The Old Testament was just Moses gathered the five books of the Pentateuch and it's like, okay, this is God's Word. And then after that, as books were written, and like Job at some point was added to the Pentateuch, but it was actually written possibly even earlier than Genesis was written.
Yeah.
But so under the priesthood, they gathered the books of the Bible as they were written. So there was really no debate about it. Like Jeremiah, you remember as Jeremiah is giving his prophecy, and you got Jehudi and his penknife trying to cut it up, throwing it in the fire to burn it. What'd God do? Well, that original perished. He gave him another original.
Yep.
And added to it, actually. It says so right in the text. Then once that was complete, Jeremiah, well, the Babylonian captivity came down, and that was pretty much when that book was complete. They added it to the rest of the books of the Bible. So the New Testament then, as it was written, bore testimony to the author. And one of the reasons, one of the main reasons books are rejected, you see this stuff on the internet all the time. Oh, they have conspiracy to keep this book out of the Bible. They rejected books of the Bible because, number one, these other books like the Book of Enoch, that one that was that teaches Joseph was 50 and Mary was 12. It's like, I can't remember what it's called. Something about the, I'm trying to think of the name of it. I just looked at it last week, but it's something about Joseph was in the title. They know it wasn't written until about 500 A.D. They know it wasn't written by anybody who ever met Joseph. The Book of Enoch was written around the 4th century. You got all these prophecy teachers out here pawning that book off on people, and it's hogwash. You got and all these other books I can name, they all had reasons why they were rejected. And I've talked about that through the years, and Johnny's not a bad idea. It's one of those things that maybe I'll get to as I'm going through there. And if I forget about it, don't leave him hanging there.
Oh, what?
He's wanting a high five.
Just
leave him hanging. But, we'll have to add that to the list. If I forget, remind me.
You go, boy.
All right, we need to get into our Bible study. It's a good study the Lord has given us this morning in these two verses at the end of Luke chapter 11. And we'll open with a word of prayer and have Brother Doug open the Bible study, if you would.
Well, God, thank you for this time that we're having, spending time in the Holy Word of God. And it's just really, really great that we open our hearts and our minds to set aside the time to you, Lord. And yeah, we just thank you for this time. Pray the pastor brings out the nuggets. And we take it all and be a good friend and study what the pastor had. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to be in, as I said, Luke 11, the last two verses, that they might accuse him. Luke 11, 53 and 54. Give you just a second to get there. We're going to close out chapter 11, and we'll see the motive of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The last three studies, we've dealt with the seven woes. There were four to the Pharisees and four to the scribes and lawyers. You say, well, that 4 + 4 = 8, Charlie. It's because that fourth one they shared. The fourth one was to both. And so there's a total of 7. And so that's where we... And then last study, if you missed that, it's on the martyrs. It's online. And Jesus basically accused them of being the murderers of the martyrs and in their fathers and in themselves, and he knew they were going to be the ones to have him killed. So let's read verses 53 and 54 where we pick up. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Amen? So they're intent on destroying Jesus. And we're going to see this more and more from this point on. They hate Jesus. And remember that when people, when you're taking a stand for what's right, you're preaching the gospel, you're telling people what the Bible teaches, you're standing with Jesus, and somebody hates you, remember Jesus said, they don't really hate you. They hate me. And because you're standing up for me, they hate you. And so these Pharisees and scribes and lawyers and Sadducees also, they hate Jesus. And they're not only going to kill Jesus, they're going to be behind a lot of the martyrs, including Stephen in Acts 7, being killed. So first, let's start with the conclusion. That always makes sense. Amen?
Yeah.
That's how Jenny likes to watch movies and read books. So we're watching a movie together. I'm like, if you look that up, you keep it to yourself. I do not want to know the end. She looks at me like, why? I'm like, that's the whole reason I watched the rest of the movie. And that's just, certain people are like that, and I love you in spite of it. Amen. I love it. I love it.
Yes.
But it's that they might accuse him. Look at verse 54. Those last five words, that they might accuse him. That is the motive behind what they're doing here. Really, reality check rerun. Most who contact me are not interested in the truth. We said this before. But have their own agenda. And always tell, because let's say you come up and ask me a question. Let's say you come up and say, I'm having trouble bringing up the app on my phone. I said, well, let me see your phone there. And I take you to the app store and I show you where it's at. And you hit, now I let you, but you got to hit the download or whatever it says and then install it. Oh, okay. And that's it. So obviously you came with an agenda of getting the app downloaded on your phone, right? But if you hand me that phone and you say, well, I'm having trouble getting this app downloaded, and then I start to tell you, and you grab and say, well, wait a minute, well, what about this app? Have you ever seen this app? I'm like, well, yeah, but I can show you how to get that other app. But wait a minute, what about this? And you keep changing the subject on me. That tells me you're really, for some reason, not interested in getting that app. You're trying to prove some other point or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, these guys are asking questions, and they're not really interested in the answers. And I have people, let's use the issue of repentance. There are, believe it or not, people today who say that you shouldn't call on men and women to repent and believe the gospel. You just ask them to admit they're a sinner and whether or not they'd like to be saved from that sin. Well, there's a problem with that. I've looked long and hard, and I can't find anywhere where the Bible shows Jesus, Paul, any of the apostles calling on someone to admit they're a sinner.
No.
It's not there. You do have to admit you're a sinner if you're going to repent. But the idea is not that Christ died for your unbelief. And that's how they'll present the gospel. That you're just an unbeliever, so you need to believe the gospel. Wait a minute. Christ died for our sins.
Yeah.
And so they'll say, well, you're teaching works. I said, well, no, I'm not. The Bible says repentance is not a work. Oh, that it is too. It's something you do. Well, it's something I do as a result of a work God does in me. And then I'll start to show them in the scripture that when you receive the word of God, then God then produces in you repentance. And if all you have to do is go along with what God's doing in you, basically, it's a way of describing it. But wait a minute. If that's true, then God repented, and that would mean he's a sinner. And I'm like, wait a minute now. And he's going to all these, and they just keep going from one thing to another, and every answer you give them, they don't care about the answer. They just jump to the next question. And they'll go on, and they don't ever care about the truth. That's what they're going to do to Jesus here. We must understand this and use wisdom when dealing with those who challenge our faith. When I've spent months talking to somebody, I've gone over the gospel more times than I can count. And I can look around the people in this room who went over the gospel with this same person and refusing to accept anything given as far as facts to back up the scripture and the gospel, and then turns around and says, I'm a liar, and starts calling people and setting up dinner dates and coffee dates so he can try to turn you against me. Well, I kind of get the idea. A few of you used a little wisdom there, or you wouldn't be here.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the reality. Folks, it ain't nothing new. I get this all the time. And I can always tell when someone cares about an issue. You know how they care? Because when I hand them some kind of material or, you know, point to a book if they can read, which most people can, point to a DVD, give them a tract or a, you know, whatever. They will take time to look at that and have a discussion. They'll ask questions. But when I give materials or refer someone to materials and they just totally ignore it and keep coming back asking the same questions, even though I've given them the material that we can discuss, but I've already given you the answer right there, that just tells me you don't care. When I first got saved, somebody came to me and wanted me to go to a Bible study so I could be discipled. And I had a friend who was invited to that same Bible study. I went. He didn't. Who do you think cared?
You did.
At that time, I did. At that time, he didn't. Sadly, since then, I don't think he ever did care. That's just the difference. If you care, then you'll put forth some effort. Salvation is free, but if you want to learn and grow, the Bible says to study, which is work. You can't just by osmosis lay your head on your Bible and wake up tomorrow knowing it all. And it says study to show yourself
approved
unto God, a workman. Ooh, that's a four-letter word again, work. Oh, you don't work to be saved, you work because you are saved. Amen? And if you don't want to put any work into it, you're not going to learn the Bible, Rick.
Well, we're dealing with that similar kind of setup where it doesn't matter what you say or what you present. Like with Black Lives Matter, critical race theory.
Yes.
You say all lives matter. Their point is you're wrong and you're racist.
Yes.
You say the critical race theory is teaching people something they shouldn't be taught. They tell you you're wrong. It doesn't matter what your point is. They're going to stay where they're at to keep you trapped. I mean, it's like... The trick question, when did you stop beating your wife?
Right.
Or Groucho Marx say, are you married or happy?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's those kind of trick questions that kind of put you in a spot where you don't win.
Which is what we're going to see from these guys with Jesus. They're going to take money and say, should you pay taxes? Remember that?
Right.
His answer blew them away and they stopped asking. They're going to ask him about the lady who was married, what, five times? Whose husband will she be in the resurrection? It's a bunch of guys called Sadducees. We always joke they're Sadducee because they don't believe in the resurrection. So they're asking Jesus a question about something they don't even believe in order to try to catch it.
Yeah.
And you get it all the time. Look over Proverbs 26. This is another thing. Some people never deal with these people at all. They just believe in walking away from them. But that's not the right answer either. Jesus doesn't walk away and never talk to him again. Look at Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. And this is another one of these places where people say it's a contradiction in the Bible. And it's not. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Now, listen closely. I got to read this. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Then the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. There are some people who want to find contradictions in the Bible, and this is one they grasp hold on to. It's not a contradiction. It just means there's a different way to handle different people, even a fool to a fool.
Yeah.
In Ruckman's Proverbs commentary, he says, the apparent contradiction does not exist. You are to answer some men one way, other men you are to answer another way.
Yeah.
A fool is a fool, but not all fools are the same.
Amen.
And others, well, there's somebody, some people who, social media is a very easy place to demonstrate this. And you have these guys come on here, and they're just filthy mouth, profane, nasty, and all that, and belligerent and everything. Block. That's it. I mean, there's no reason. Facebook and Twitter and these guys who are blocking conservatives and banning conservatives and acting like it's because we violated their communist standards. Listen, it is because we are violating their communist standards. It's not because of us violating community standards.
Right.
They're just trying to silence those they disagree with.
Their community's
not- the reality is they have an inbuilt system where if someone comes on my page and says blasphemous things or threatens me or whatever, I can report them and block them. And that's what adults do. That's how adults act. But see, this whole thing with liberals and progressives, it has nothing to do with anything other than power and silencing you. And so that's what you're going to see, by the way, from the Pharisees and Sadducees. It has nothing to do with Jesus really breaking God's law like they accuse him. It's about them hating Jesus and wanting to silence him. But again, back in Proverbs 26, the other thing, it might be somebody who needs to be answered. You don't block them, so to speak. They need to be answered, lest they be wise in his own conceit. Meaning, if you discern that you can say something that will clearly shut this guy up, at least for the moment, then do it. And it doesn't mean he'll not go to the next person and say the same thing, because they will a lot of times. But in that moment, and for anybody witnessing the conversation or the situation, you've dealt with a fool according to his folly, but in one instance you don't talk to them, and another you do. And that's what you have to mature and have discernment and be able to do that. And you keep in mind the motive as we look at the tactics that we're going to see these Pharisees and scribes, lawyers, Sadducees, etc., trying to trap Jesus. Go back to Luke 11 again. It says, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently. That's another thing. This is like people are just coming at you, and they're not interested in a calm, rational discussion. They're just like, And now, if they're doing that, and you do feel like you need to get a word in edgewise, then you have to kind of become vehement too, at least to the point that you get what you need to say said, and then move on. But they were not thoughtful and patient. Now, I can tell you, you can tell yourself this, I can tell myself this from my own experience in my own life. When I wanted to learn, I'd shut up and listen. And if you told me something and I needed to, I'd check it out and see if what you're saying is true from the scripture or from whatever. And when you're dealing with somebody and they're just vehemently coming at you and they won't sit and think about it, they won't ponder what you're saying, they won't test what you're saying, whether it's true, then you're wasting your time. When a guy is all worked up, you can walk away if you can't get him to settle down. Some just practical advice there. If the guy will not settle down and talk sense, not too long ago, Brother Doug was standing there when some fellow came up after the service and was all worked up over the fact that we don't believe baptism saves. We are baptized because we're saved.
Amen.
Not in order to be saved. And as we're talking, all I was doing is trying to explain to him some things. He come from a Church of Christ background, and Alexander Campbell, who started that movement, was originally a Baptist, but he became heretical in this thing of being baptized. They try to pretend he didn't start their movement. They try to pretend they're teaching exactly what the Apostle Paul taught, and they're carrying on from the apostles and that sort of thing. So as I was telling historical facts about it, and the conversation went back and forth, he said, he just started calling me a liar. Does that sound familiar? You're suddenly a liar because you just simply disagree with them and giving them facts that they don't want to accept. And Doug was standing right there, and I said, I'm not a liar. I just said, it's time to go.
That's National Assistance. Yeah.
Our security team escorted him out. Why? Because at that point, you know that you're wasting your time. He's not calmly, collectively trying to have a conversation. Listen to what you're saying. You know, back and forth, that's how it has to work. So sometimes that's the way it has to work. But look again at verse 53. It says, and to provoke him to speak of many things. In other words, they're looking for ammo, not the truth.
Yep.
There's some people when you're talking to them, you can say factual things. You can say the truth. You can say it over and over. They're going to ignore that and pick out something you might have said that wasn't exactly right. And that's when you're not dealing with somebody who really is interested in a conversation that will lead to an understanding of the truth. And looking for ammo, of course, I mean, that's the news media, our fake news media in this country. Anytime they're interviewing anyone who's not a liberal or progressive, they're not interested in facts. They're not interested in news. It's called gotcha questions. They're always just trying to catch something, just like these guys are with Jesus. Catch something that they can then put in the news to make you look bad.
They're interested in creating it.
Mary?
That's totally what Rick and I have experienced with children's services. Mm-hmm. Every meeting, every assessment, you know, and then we look at the results later. I'm like, we didn't say that. It's been crazy. Yeah.
And your story is told thousands of times over. It's a sad thing. We need people in any kind of government leadership or position who is interested in the truth. I read, what's the lady's name? Rick, before you step, Sidney Powell. Okay, I had to look at your face to remember her name. The Kraken, yeah. Sidney Powell, before this thing happened with the election and everything, she's well known as one of the great attorneys in our country of recent years. And one of the reasons was because she was able to show that the government was hiding information in order to prosecute people who were head of oil companies just so they could get their pound of flesh and victory. So they basically were putting innocent men and women, it was both men and women, in prison. And they were hiding the truth in order to do it. And Sidney Powell was able to get all that brought out in the open. And one guy, it was too late for one of them. He committed suicide in prison. Innocent man. That was our government doing that to people.
Yeah.
Listen, I think, the Pharisees are the head of the government in this time. Herod and the Romans basically let them lead and rule over the people as long as they kept things in check. Things got out of hand, the Romans would come in and clean house. Otherwise, they let them rule their own house to a great extent. And it's the same thing we're experiencing here with what Jesus has experienced with the Pharisees. Too many people in leadership don't care about the truth. They don't care about the Constitution, and they don't care about you. And that's why you've got to be wise. And listen, anybody says what we need is more government control, I think they're insane. I mean, the idea of giving our health care over to the government, yeah, go ahead, and they'll euthanize you at some point.
Yes,
they'll be putting you down like a dog. To save money, they're already doing it.
Yeah.
And so forth. Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, you talk about how people can fall sick in prison. These liberals today go by, you know, with the military code of justice was, you know, and when I was in there, they said, any situation, you're guilty until proven innocent in the military.
Yeah.
And these people have adapted that philosophy and took it to a bad extreme.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been innocently put in prison for nothing.
Yeah, it's a shame. So when you answer a guy, but he just jumps to the next thing, insist he acknowledge the point and don't move to the next thing until he does. That's how Jesus is going to stick it to him that way several times. And if someone comes up to you and asks you something and you can, especially if you can tell that they're really not interested in the truth and the facts, then you stick them to that point. Again, Sidney Powell, her book, I'm trying to think what the title of her book was I read. But Jenny's phone is being used for more important purposes right now. I'd ask her to look it up. But Sidney Powell's tact was to stick to that point and not move on until they answered. And she was to the point, they were threatening her legal firm. They were going to try to destroy them, and she stuck to her guns. And she won, which makes you think, you know, don't quite give up on this election fraud being exposed for what it is, because she's one of them that's fighting to get it out there.
Exactly.
So in verse 54, then it says, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth. And that is the tactic of modern cancel culture.
Yeah.
And they've done it to people who are even one of them.
Yeah.
They've even done it to progressives, gone back and looked in there, and they said, wait a minute, you may be a progressive now, but 7 years ago, you told a Polish joke on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Here's an example. This lady is a progressive. And she had gotten a job as a journalist, I believe, at the New York Times. And they looked up a tweet that was 10 years old. And I think she might have been 10 years old when she tweeted it. I mean, how old she looks. And they fired her. And that's been going on in sports and business and everything.
Yeah.
You remember this guy? Kurt Schilling? He was working for ESPN. And back in 2016, he posted a trans guy and said he was opposed to men being in women's bathrooms. And ESPN fired him for it. Well, then 2019, when he announced he might run for Congress, they went and... I love how they say this. Internet digs up Kurt Schilling's bigoted... No, it's liberals and progressives on the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, the internet doesn't do anything. It's neutral. It's ridiculous. So progressives and liberals dig up Kurt Schilling's what they call bigoted history. Why? Because he's opposed to men in women's bathrooms and that sort of thing. After Trump said he would be terrific, or it's terrific he may run for Congress, it's like the Trump derangement syndrome kicked in, and they're like, this Trump likes this guy, we must destroy him. Now, any guess as to what happened to him just a few weeks ago?
Oh, no.
Earlier this year? He announced that AIG, the insurance company, had informed him they were canceling his insurance due to his social media profile.
What?
Wow. Welcome to communism. This is exactly what the Chinese government does to their people. Famed Boston Red Sox pitcher turned conservative commentator Kurt Schilling said Tuesday, this was back in January 13, by the way, but this year, that American International Group, AIG, had canceled his family's insurance plan due to his social media profile.
Now,
I don't have AIG, but if I did, I would make sure they know I'm canceling, and this is why.
Yeah. Amen. Well, surely, of course, they gave him all his money back, right?
No, they did not. They're not obligated to do that. If they just don't cover you from here on out. All for standing against the transgender activists. I'm just telling you, I believe you should stand, but I think you should know what is coming.
Yeah, amen.
You stand up against this stuff, and they're going to come after you hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just take a stand, and they will come after you.
Yeah.
So again, in verse 54 says that they might accuse him, is how the verse ends. They hate truth and they love to destroy. They really do. They just, even their own. I was joking about Michael Jackson. Do you remember? The day before he died, they were all attacking him. And some of what they said may have been true. I mean, some of the young actors said he was... inappropriate with them. Who's the guy on Home Alone?
Colin Culkin.
Yeah, he said that he felt like he was proper with him. But then you have others who came out and said that he was improper. We'll never know. Great White Throne is where we'll find out, you know. But my point, though, is the day before he died, progressives, liberals, all these comedians were just joking and ripping him up one side, down the other, and then he died. And suddenly he became Saint Michael.
Yeah.
Yes, he's dancing with the angels in heaven and all this kind of headlines. That's how they are. As long as you're alive, man, you are meat. And they eat their own. Then once you're dead, then they'll leave you alone. So look at Psalm 53, 1 to 4. Psalm 53. Verse 1 is similar to Psalm 14, 1. It says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt they are, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Now look at this, verse 2 says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and that did seek God. Now read verses 3 and 4 with me. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. That describes these Pharisees, these scribes and lawyers. It describes the left and their cancel culture in this country. It describes the apostates who are taking over churches and seminaries today. They all have this same thing in common. But what is in store for these enemies of God and His people? Psalm 53, verse 5. Read that with me. There were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Don't you think this COVID thing with everybody running around with double masks, even when they're outside walking their dogs and in their cars all by themselves? I mean, it's one thing if you're one of those people who had to take precautions and everything, fine. But you had healthy people in their 20s who wouldn't even step outside for a breath of fresh air. And then they're all running to the vaccination, scared to death. Well, what did it say is going to happen to these people? In great fear where no fear was.
Yep.
They're scared of nothing. Scared of their own shadows, I've heard it.
Isn't there something about somebody being afraid even if a wind-blown leaf?
Yeah.
They'll run away from just the sound of a leaf rustling.
And that's what you get, the idea you get from these people today. And, of course, there are other examples in the Bible. We had time to run to them all, but this is directly toward all who hate Israel, by the way. As verse 6 says, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad." But as we pointed out, sometimes, even when it's specifically directed toward Israel, comparing Scripture with Scripture, we see that this applies to all God's people in each dispensation. And so, it's repeated toward those who hate believers in the last days as well. And this is in Jude. We'll close it up here soon. I know went a little long, but got started a little late. But in Jude, right before the book of Revelation, easy way to find it. And there's only one chapter, but to save confusion, I put chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Because we do have new believers, and they don't always know all the things some of you that know everything know. In Jude, verses 14 and 15, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." If you dare read verse 15. "To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So that's talking about everyone against Christ, against his word, against his people in the last days. And it matches what we read in Psalm 53. There's a payday coming. Jesus knows that he is facing off with the very people who will have him killed. You and I, if you don't already know this, next time somebody gets in your face for standing for what's right, you need to understand something. You may be looking at the very same person or people who are going to serve the Antichrist and be turning in Christians to be beheaded for not taking the mark.
Yeah.
We are in the last day. If the rapture happened tomorrow, those same people opposing you right now will join with the Antichrist against the 144,000 Jews and believers, tribulation saints, during that time of tribulation.
Amen.
That's how real this is, folks. And just like that, Jesus was looking at the very people who, shortly after this, are going to be yelling out, "Crucify him!" to have him killed. So we'll pick up with Luke 12 next time. But as the musicians come forward, we're going to sing 506 in your hymn book, and you can turn there. But as you turn there, I want you to listen. Just a couple more things. We look for a new world where all will be peace, love, and joy in His presence. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you looking forward to that?
Amen.
But until then, get used to this. Fight, 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 battle, battle, battle. I mean, heaven's coming, but we're not there yet.
Nope.
And so as the musicians come, I just want to read our last text from John, chapter 14.
Amen.
Great passage. Sadly, a lot of times only people hear this is at funerals. But John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. If you're there, read it with me. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, take that and believe it. And your new versions will tell you it's a compartment or something. Hogwash. It's a mansion.
Amen.
And God isn't hard up and have to get you a compartment. He's got plenty of room, and he's going to have a mansion for each and every one of you. And I believe our pets will be there. You want to fight about that?
If it was a cardboard box, it would not be there.
That's true. Yeah. Thankfully, though, God hasn't promised us to live like the homeless. And so we're going to have a mansion. And I believe what God's word says and go and take it to the bank. I expect, and listen, I also believe when he says even right here and now, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So we're facing a bad time. It's getting darker by the day. But don't let your heart be troubled. If you're there, I hope you're saved and you know it. And that you can sing this song with both barrels. Meet me there, page 506. Stand if you can. If you haven't already, bbfohio@protonmail.com. Get your prayer cards ready in house, and I will say goodbye to the onliners on three. One, two, three. See you
here, there, or in the air.